He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. And boy, I tell you, that was the shortest rally in the history of the market. We had a nice rally out of the gate after the CPI came in, a little bit cooler than expected, although 5.3% is nothing to celebrate. And I looked at the market, it was up about 100 points. And I looked at the leadership in the market. Yeah, it was like a few stocks, which is generally a pretty good indication that the rally is going to fizzle. It has. The Dow down 85 right now. NASDAQ about up 6 points after being up around 60. Seems to be a pattern here recently in the market that rallies are being sold off. That's not a good sign. We may have reached a top for now. We may be due for a little bit of a correction. Of course, we'll have to watch this going forward. But right now, the Dow down 81 points, 34,791. The NASDAQ is up 6 points. The NASDAQ is at 15,000, still above 15,000. It's at 15,115. Actually, it's up about 10 points right now. Gold basically flat on the day so far. Take a look at the 10-year, how it's behaving after this report on inflation. Yeah, pretty steady here right now. The 10-year at about 1.34%. But the big news this morning, the CPI index comes in at 5.3%, which was cooler than expected. I tweeted out this morning about, have you priced a loaf of Dave's whole wheat, whole grain, all the seeds? One of the best breads in the market, at least on the supermarket shelf. I generally try to make my own bread. But price of Dave's bread's up to $5.31 these days. So I'm definitely seeing inflation at my grocery store. And boy, I'll tell you what, I mean, anything meat related, especially beef related, I see prices going through the roof, prices of seafood, milk, cheese, you name it. Not quite sure what's going on, but I guess supply chain issues are what is being blamed for these higher prices. Well, we had kind of a weird day in the market yesterday. We had the Dow up pretty strongly, but you know what? It was a few sectors. It was basically energy. It was basically the oil and gas sector. And on the other hand, we had the NASDAQ down yesterday. So that seems to be kind of a little bit of a pattern here too recently. What I'm seeing is a stalling out of what's been a rally over the last few months. I've seen the Dow kind of level off now in this right around 35,000 range. The S&P is starting to cool off a little bit, level off as we await another earnings season, right in about the 4,500 range. And we also have the NASDAQ kind of leveling off here in the 15,000 range. Now, the worries in the market, inflation, obviously, that comes in a little bit better than expected today. That's not going to really move the markets one way or another. I think that the proposals being put out right now on potential tax hikes probably is the biggest factor in cooling the market off right now, because that bites into earnings. And earnings are the mother's milk of the markets, the indexes, and individual stocks. And when you take a bite out of earnings, you take a bite out of the market. And I've been saying that about 500 or 600 points of the S&P 500 are up for grabs right now, depending on which way, you know, these tax hikes, these proposed tax hikes turn. So you got a couple of different wheels in motion right now. On the one hand, you've got another massive spending plan that is being debated, that is being tossed around, that would probably pass tomorrow if it weren't for a couple of senators, mainly Joe Manchin in West Virginia and Sinema out in Arizona. And how are they going to pay for that plan? Well, even if they get the tax hikes that they want, which we'll talk about here in a moment, they still fall, yeah, just $1 trillion short, okay? Call it $1 trillion short, trying to pay for the rest of that, and they'll be looking for ways to pay for that. I would say this about the tax plan. It's not as draconian as some feared. Instead of taking the corporate tax back to 28% from the 21 where it sits now, it would go to 26.5%. I suppose they proposed that number because it's a little bit more palatable. And, of course, any hike in the corporate tax generally is passed on to the consumer. You know, the corporations really don't pay that tax. The consumers pay that tax. And then, of course, you would have a hike in the capital gains taxes, taking them up from 20 to 25%, not the 40% that we heard at one point in time, and then another 3% surcharge on top of that with the Obamacare surcharge. So I think that's probably cooled the market off for now. Has it ended the 12-year bull market that began back in 2009? No, not yet. But how many times has the market cooled off and consolidated along the way here during the last 12 years? Many times. So there's no need to panic yet. But keep in mind that, you know, in our quiver, we have some of those inverse funds, which we can hedge with. The Dow would seem to be the most obvious one right now. The inverse of the Dow is dog. That's a one-to-one inverse relationship with the Dow. DXD is two times inverse the Dow. The second most logical one would be SH, which is the direct one-to-one inverse of the S&P 500. Now, I'm not saying I'm buying them yet, but they definitely move a little bit up on my watch list with the Dow and the S&P and the NASDAQ kind of leveling off here. SH would be the one-to-one relationship, and then there's a lot of two-to-one relationships inverse the S&P, and there's three-to-one, which, you know, I don't like those really highly leveraged inverse ETFs. And on the NASDAQ, it's PSQ. PSQ would be the logical choice there. And the next one up is a two-to-one inverse relationship. There's several of those out there. And then you've got the small cap inverse relationship, RWM. And over in the emerging markets, the one that I usually look at, and of course the emerging markets are a lot of China, so it does make sense. Maybe that would be maybe even the first inverse ETF if things were to get a little bit worse. EUM would be one to look at there. Well, another hurricane comes ashore. It's a hurricane category one, but it is pushing oil prices a little bit higher. And I would say this about yesterday's 200-point move in the Dow. It was all energy price, energy stocks. It was oil and gas stocks. Do you think that's sustainable? Do you think that the oil and gas stocks are going to remain in rally mode, or is this just a temporary boost that they're getting, first from Hurricane Ida and next from, I don't know if they have a name for this one. It's a tropical storm. It does have a name. I can't think of it right now. But that's going to push oil prices up. The natural gas prices, they're the ones that are really surging, up nearly 6%. They have not only strong demand and, you know, effects from these hurricanes, but also U.S. production lags. We're behind the curve on the natural gas. So that's where it stands. When we come back, I want to talk just a little bit more about the market cooling off here, and it could be this $3.5 trillion infrastructure plan, along with how to pay for it. In other words, higher taxes, which take a bite out of corporate earnings. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back.
Quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the rally fizzles. You know what's new? The NASDAQ is up 10, however. The Dow down 112 right now. I'm not saying it's a time yet to put in some inverse ETFs, but I'm going to start watching them. I would say that over the weekend, as I looked at the charts for the newsletter, and I do include those inverse ETFs. In other words, I put in the chart of the S&P 500 every single week, a one-year chart, and I give my analysis of it. And right below it is SH, which is the inverse. It's upside down. It's the inverse of the S&P 500, one-to-one. And I give my analysis of it, okay, right below it. And I do the same with the Dow. I do the same with the NASDAQ. I do the same with Europe. And I do the same, I think, with the emerging markets. So, you know what? They're as viable as investing in investing in the indexes are. So I think it is at least time to take a look. As we seem to be getting a little pause here in the market. Now, one of the reasons I mentioned here in the first quarter of the show, the U.S. government is proposing, well, the House Democrats unveiled tax proposals to fund $3.5 trillion infrastructure. Now, this infrastructure, if you look at it, it's more social programs. There's no question about it. There is more in the way of social programs than roads and bridges, and it would take the top corporate tax rate up to 26.5 from the current 21, which I stated earlier. The top individual rate would go back up to 39.6 from 37. And the top federal on capital gains would be raised to 25 from 20. And you add another 3.8% surtax on net investment income. The total capital gain tax bite would be 28.8. And the bill would also impose a 3% point surtax on people making over $5 million. And they want $80 billion in bolstering the IRS to go after tax cheats, okay? Especially people earning more than $400,000 a year. They want to target those with a bigger army back there at the IRS. That still doesn't get you to $3.5 trillion, however. That comes up about $1 trillion short. Well, they're trying to get another $120 billion from tougher tax enforcement, $700 billion from drug price policy changes, and they're hoping for faster economic growth. Well, just from my perspective, I've never seen where tax hikes create faster economic growth. But regardless, that is the plan, and the market has definitely cooled off here for now. We had a really good run, especially in the high-growth stocks through the month of August, I would say, and it's definitely cooled off here over the last several days. All right, uranium futures continue to explode. Not a good term there, but, of course, uranium used not only in nuclear power plants, but nuclear weapons. You know, uranium also drives some of our aircraft carriers and whatnot with their nuclear generators on board. Uranium prices reach are up 50% over the last month. Why? Okay, why all of a sudden? What is going on? Who's putting in orders all of a sudden? Is it Iran? I mean, is it Afghanistan? I don't know. Is it Minnesota? I don't know. But all of a sudden, uranium futures, uranium prices going through the roof. There's a uranium mining ETF, URNM. It was up another 8.1% yesterday. Let's just check in on it today for fun. Maybe it's North Korea. I don't know. Okay, it is settling back a little bit today. It's down 5.3%. I normally find that these sectors that turn hot all of a sudden and you get a big 50% move in a matter of several days, you know, unless you're lucky and catch it just right, that's kind of like following a fad. And I don't find that following fads is a very good way to invest. But having said that, over the last 12 months, URNM ETF is up 171%, probably the top-performing ETF in the entire market. Now, here's good news from Bank of America. Okay, last week, we talked about how far behind the curve they were on their target price for the S&P 500. They finally raised their target price last week. Maybe that put a top in on the market. You know, Bank of America finally giving in, raising their target price. But here's their prediction for the next 10 years. This really caught my eye. Last week, they upped their target price on the S&P from 3,800, which obviously they were way off on. Who knows? Maybe they'll be right by the end of the year. I don't know. They raised it to 4,250. The market's been going down ever since. But here's what they think over the next 10 years. Price to normalized earnings have a very strong relationship, in other words, P.E. ratio, to subsequent S&P 500 returns over the long haul. Right now, the S&P 500's trailing normalized P.E. ratio of 29 times suggest a 10-year annual return of -0.8% per year over the next 10 years. Okay, well, that sounds exciting. Now, that's Bank of America. They're basing that on today's normalized P.E. ratio of the S&P 500. They're looking out 10 years from now, and they're saying that the S&P 500 will average -0.8% over the next 10 years. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Well, by contrast, as I look at SPY, it has averaged over the last 10 years 14% per year. It's been a very good 10-year period of time. And B of A, who's been pretty wrong here about their target prices, is saying that we'll get negative returns for the next 10 years. They are saying, however, that the small cap stocks, which I would agree with, I wouldn't agree with their minus 0.8% per year, but I would agree that the better value looks to be in small cap stocks. They're saying that they will average over the next 10 years just about 1% per year. Okay, that's from Bank of America, our friends at Bank of America. Now, when we come back, I would say two major shots fired across the bow of cryptocurrency investors. On the one hand, you have Kathy Woods, who came out with a 500,000 prediction on Bitcoin here again recently. On the other hand, here's what the SEC is saying about Bitcoin. More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the best crypto, best inverse ETFs, and best stocks now show. And welcome back here to the second half of Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 158 right now, 34,709. And you've got the S&P down 10 right now, 0.2%. NASDAQ down 4 points to 15,101. I think it's fair to say the market has cooled off here after a pretty good run during the month of August. All right, crypto. At one extreme, you've got Kathy Woods of the ARK Funds coming out and putting a $500,000 target price on Bitcoin, which is trading at about $45,000, $46,000 today. On the other side of that Bitcoin, you've got SEC's Gary Gensler saying crypto is rife with fraud, scams, and abuse. Oh, that doesn't give me a lot of confidence in buying that Bitcoin trust from, GBTC? Securities Exchange Commissioner Chairman Gary Gensler shows that he will not be easy on the industry that's still largely unregulated. We just don't have enough investor protection in crypto finance, issuance, trading, or lending, he said in his prepared testimony before the U.S. Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs. This asset class is rife with fraud, scams, and abuse in certain applications, he said. We can do better. The SEC is also working with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the Federal Reserve, the Department of Treasury, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency with respect to investor protection in the crypto markets. Well, okay, that's definitely a warning shot across the bow. Now, on Monday, it was Bloomberg that came out with their own target price on Bitcoin, $100,000. $100,000 was their target price, Kathy Woods at $500,000. Meanwhile, Gary Gensler, SEC chairman, firing a shot over the bow of Bitcoin. And in the meantime, you know, countries... China has really stepped up their move towards a digital yuan. You've seen El Salvador kind of adopt Bitcoin as legal tender down there. But it seems to me that the biggest threat to the cryptos continues to be government cracking down. Look what the Chinese cracked down, moving all the miners out of China and creating their own digital currency. I see that as a continued, the biggest threat in my mind to the digital currencies. But, you know, they continue to go up and do well. They're at 46,000. A lot of people have made a lot of money in the cryptos. And I just say you do what you want to do with the cryptos. I'm not going to investors that entrust their money with me in them. The home bidding wars cool slightly. Okay, only 59% of home offers are getting a competing offer. That got as high as 74% in April. So about 5 months ago, maybe we saw kind of a top for now in the housing market, housing prices, housing fervor, competition for low inventory. It was 74.3 in April. Redfin reporting that that's down to 58.8 competing offers. They say that sellers are still pricing their homes very high, but a lot of buyers have had enough and are no longer willing to pay the huge premiums that they were 6 months ago. You know, I was talking to my neighbor here yesterday. He has about a 23-foot center console that he's had for quite a while. I mean, it's probably 10 years old or something. He sold it yesterday for the same price he bought it at 10 years ago because the price of replacement, you know, buying a new boat prices are probably up anywhere from 20 to 25% over, you know, last year's crop of new boats. And in a lot of cases, you have a one-year wait because of shortages in the supply chain to get a new boat. So anyways, just a little bit of the state of the curve. If you got a used boat, you got some good legal tender there, maybe as good as crypto. But then again, if you're going to buy a new boat, you're going to pay a whole heck of a lot more. So if you got an old boat sitting around right now, boy, put it on Craigslist. You might get a pretty penny for it. Johnson & Johnson's Ebola vaccine. You know, it seems like they're coming up with a vaccine for everything. Will there be at some point in time where we just take one shot and it covers measles and chicken pox and smallpox and Ebola and COVID and everything? Or are we going to get so many jabs in our arm full of vaccines? I know they have a shingles vaccine out there. Johnson & Johnson's Ebola vaccine. Now, watching how ugly that Ebola thing is, I might want to have one of those if Ebola ever comes to our shores again. That's not a fun one. But J&J's Ebola vaccine yields strong immune response so far. That could be good news. Now the state of the bond market. To try to find a 4% or better bond in this bond market right now, you know, I mean, the last one I saw was a oil and gas company, a small exploration company. Lowe's is selling $1 billion 7-year notes, 7-year notes, 1.7%. One points. I mean, that's like a treasury, okay? If you want to go out longer, you can get 2.8%, but you got to go out 20 years. So you buy a 20-year note from Lowe's. If they're still around in 20 years, you get your money back. And along the way, 2.8% that is also taxable, don't forget. And if the note goes up in value at any point in time along the way, you also pay capital gains on it. So pretty skinny margin there. The Gap stores now, okay, so obviously there's a big gap between Lowe's and Gap stores, which is kind of a teen retailer. Gap is offering 8-year notes, 3.62, 3 5/8%. Okay, so you're getting under 4%, 3 5/8% for a 7-year note. And if you want to go out 10 years, 3.9%. Well, you know, I watch these offerings all the time. I saw a good one the other day, but I didn't know if it was a private offering or not. It was a Best Stock Now, actually. And it was almost, I think it was just over 4%. I'll try to think of what it was. It was yesterday that I saw that. How about a Taco Bell subscription? Why not? You know, you got the Amazon Prime. You got the Best Stocks Now app subscription, live trading. Taco Bell is now offering a subscription, a price ranging from $5 to $10 per month, which enables you every day during the month. It's called the Taco Lovers Pass. You can get one crunchy taco, or one soft taco, one spicy potato soft taco, or a Doritos Locos taco per day for 30 consecutive days through the chain's app at a set price ranging from everybody's getting in on the subscription business, even Taco Bell. Okay, Lion Electric gains after CIBC calls out first mover advantage. Well, the reason I watch Lion Electric Company, here's why. Not Lionel. Those were the trains that you used to get. I remember getting a Lionel train set, just the small one, when I was maybe 38 years old or something like that, from my parents under the Christmas tree. No, I was about 10 years old. I remember my dad set that thing up on the floor. I remember stepping on that thing and getting a shock like you couldn't believe, man. It was really like, ooh, big wake-up call. But Lion Electric Company is interesting. It is an EV vehicle company, but this is the one that Warren Buffett has an investment in, so that's why I keep my eye on that one. If I were going to buy one of these electric vehicle startups, it would probably be Lion Electric, LEV but it's currently ranked at number two. Well, last time I looked a couple weeks ago, it was ranked at number 2,151. Anyways, it's being called out by CIBC as a first mover advantage. In other words, they might have some cars out there for sale before the other guys. Okay, so keep your eye on LEV. Another meme stock continues to collapse. Support.com. Can't find any support. Here's the meme game, okay? Support.com was at $5 per share in June. They start hyping it on Reddit. They run it up to $60. So God bless them. From 5 to 60, it's a 12-bagger in 3 months. It has zero fundamentals. It's a $400 million stock. And from 60, it's back down to 15. It's down to 16 now. That's what you call a wild ride. Roller coaster support.com.
This is Bill Gundry.
You gotta go where you wanna go and do what you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, we had a rally that lasted about a half an hour. You know, if you blinked, you missed it. Okay, and now we're down about 35 on the NASDAQ, down a couple hundred on the Dow. This seems to be a pattern here. You know, and when you have a nice upward trend in the market, sell-offs are bought. And when things start to get a little dicey and we start to worry about tax hikes and inflation and whatnot, COVID-19 variant, you see where rallies get sold. Okay, that's just the opposite. So we have seen a change here in the market. Now, this has been about, most of last week, other than Monday of last week, you had 3 days. It was a four-day week, 3 days. And then yesterday you had a pretty good day, although down to the... So maybe the last 4 out of 5 days. So it's not a new trend yet, but it is definitely a cooling off in the market so far. And we're going to take a look at 5 different stocks or ETFs showing up on my list today. Okay, let's go first with my watch list. Okay, so, you know, I have, I begin with 6,000 almost different stocks, ETFs, mutual funds in my database. I rank them every day, and I like stocks that are ranked B-plus or better. And I also look at all the A-plus momentum stocks. Sometimes I can catch some stocks really early by doing that. I also look at stocks moving up in rank, and from those three lists, the ones that really catch my eye make it to my watch list. Okay? This is like one step away from, ending up in one of my portfolios. Okay? So one on my watch list here that jumps off the page to me today is FXP. We've talked a little bit about inverse funds here. How about an inverse fund twice the inverse of China? The China 50, okay, Xi Jinping continues to do about everything he can do to destroy their capitalism, their prosperity, their big gains in the market, their big gains in technology by moving the country back to the old socialist roots of Mao Zedong. And we're seeing big sell-offs in the Chinese stocks. Well, FXP is double inverse. It's a ProShares ETF with $20 million in it. Not a lot, but it's picking up some volume. It's rising in rank. It burst above its 50-day moving average. And there's been a golden cross recently where the 50-day has crossed above the 200-day. FXP, okay? Stock number two, I'm going to take from my A-plus momentum list, one of the best charts in the entire market. I'm not quite sure. I got to do a little more research on IC. My mother used to say that to me all the time. Billy, why didn't you do your... Oh, IC. Well, anyway, ISEE is the symbol. ISEE, Iveric Bio, developing therapeutics to treat diseases of the back of the eye. Well, I remember Regeneron was one of the biggest winners in the biotech sector of all time. They were working on, they came up with a drug called Eylea for macular degeneration. This Iveric is all of a sudden busting loose and breaking out. I've got to do a little bit more research in it, but it has a relative strength of 98 on the Richter scale of Investor's Business Daily, and in my system it's A+. So it's definitely one I'm keeping my eye on. The back of my eye is continuing to watch that one. And then there's three on my best highly ranked stocks, INMD, which is an Israeli company that makes lasers for minimally and non-invasive cosmetic procedures and women's health. It's probably getting rid of wrinkles, right? Okay, smoothing things out. I've gotten a little rough over the years. InMode, that's been a hot stock. The problem is it's up 255% from its pivot point. This stock is just on fire. There must be a lot of demand for their product, INMD. And then Lithium Corp of America shows up today. I like that chart, LAC. I like that chart a lot. It's ranked number 12 right now, LAC, Lithium Corp of America. That's a $2.7 billion small cap. And the last one I would mention that has been red hot and heating up again, AMEH, which is Apollo Medical Holdings. It's hard for me to get a grip around what they do for a living, but this stock has just been a screamer. Operates as a physician-centric integrated population health management company. What does that mean? I need to look further into what population health management is. Anyways, the stock is ranked number 153 right now. Very solid chart. So there's five of them for you today from the very generous Gunderson in this September. Well, I got a lot of stocks to look at today. If I make a move today, I let my live trading subscribers know. It'd be either finding something new that I'm buying, maybe selling something that is starting to weaken, take a profit here or there, adding an inverse ETF. That's all part of my live trading subscription. That's an $89 per month. For all you do-it-yourselfers, you can do that and the Taco Bell subscription. And when we're done trading today, you can go get yourself a Doritos Taco Loco after you listen to Loco Bill. Well, anyways, if you would say to yourself, I don't have time to do all that and sit by the computer all day long, I got surgery, I got cosmetic laser treatments to perform or to receive, I don't know. You can have us manage your money, the Gunderson team. You can go to GundersonCapital.com. And if you just want a little flavor of what we consider to be best stocks now and kind of how our portfolios are constructed right now, including best bonds now, you can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter. Another generous offer from Generous Gunderson. You can go to 855-611-BEST, give us a call there, or you can go to the website at GundersonCapital.com. If you want to talk to Edie, Edie sets up the appointments for myself and my team. If you'd like to talk to one of us, of course, we have a certified financial planner on call. Actually, he works for us full-time, very valuable guy to talk to. If you're trying to figure out, when can I retire? That's what I've been wondering for a long time. I love what I do. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.